Okay.
When they came to Pittsburgh and they spoke the first night at the Carnegie Musical, but we felt that they should speak Yiddish to the Yiddish audience in Pittsburgh. And we got the Shelley Hotel, and I was honored to introduce them. And they spoke about 3 hours, both of them. And they gave a picture of life in Russia, especially during the Second World War.
Do you remember anything they told about?
What?
Did you remember anything about
them? Well, I remember everything. I remember because that time the Soviet Union was very nice to the Jews. And they helped, they escaped. Most of them escaped from Vilna and from White Russia, and they sent them to Central Russia, and they kept them there till 1945. See, in that time, they could return. See? And, of course, in 1944, we bought the Yiddish Cultural Center on Folk Street. It's still there, where the Pioneer Women meet, and we paid for it $8,400, and now it's worth a quarter of a million.
That's wonderful. That leads us into, you lived in Squirrel Hill when you first came here.
Yeah.
It must be so different now than it was. Would you like to tell us a little bit about how it was then?
When we came in 1920, there was such thing as Murray Avenue. There was nothing on it. It was just a drugstore right near Hobart Street. But there was no houses, there was no buildings, and most of it, there was no Taylor Roosevelt High School, and most of it was like a park. Mm-hmm. And the synagogues, there was no synagogues. The Brishon Synagogue met on Forbes and Murray in a little building, and very, very few members. See, of course, my father was a member, and afterwards, in 1922, he became the shamus of the shul.
So you used to go there too. So you must have felt as though you were living out far away from the cultural center there.
Oh, sure, because the Center Avenue was.
And you spent all your time there.
Yeah.
Where did your mother do her shopping, or your sister shop?
On Logan Street.
On Logan Street. So they would take a streetcar at the top?
A streetcar and go to Logan Street.
And you, of course, you said that you worked 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
What about Saturdays? Now that it's closed on Saturday, then it was not?
Well, then, the wholesale was open on Sunday. But the retail part was open on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very, very big day. And and all the clothing stores were open. There were 40 men's clothing stores, and all of them were open on Saturday and Sunday.
Uh-huh. Is Morgan and Kaufman still there?
No.
No, it's not.
The only store it's remained is Specialty.
Specialty.
And the owner is a new owner.
Right. So at Morgan and Kaufman, you sold only men's clothes?
What?
Did you sell men's,
only
men's?
Only men's, yeah.
And all clothes are just suits?
Suits, coats, top coats, raincoats.
I see. So you're in that business all your life?
All the life.
And you said that you did the buying.
Yeah.
Did you go to New York?
After Morgan died, I grew up buying. And did I tell you the story about the Pope?
No.
See, we had a lot of Italian customers. And of course, an Italian customer, you want to impress him with the Pope. So I told him that when I went to Rome, I went to see the Pope. And the Pope said, where are you in Pittsburgh? Oh, I says, in the Epiphany Church. He said, the Epiphany Church? I used to go there. And what store did you have? I says, Morgan and Kaufman. He says, oh, I used to stay in front of the store and look at the window, but I couldn't afford it. And the Italians used to call me, love the story, they used to call me the Pope.
That's really cute. Okay. Before we, I want to make sure that I get into.
And my middle name was Joseph Settembrini Saul.
And what was that stand for?
It's an Italian name. What's his name? Thomas Mann has a great novel, and there is an Italian, and his name is Settembrini. so I adopted the name.
And this is what you told your Italian customers. So that was your middle name.
Sure.
Right.
I told them.
You seem to be so well-read.
See, and also we had a lot of Slavic people, so I had to have a Slavic name too. So my name was Joseph Cetongrini Pshepshenshitsky Song.
Were you able to talk, you talked Yiddish, of course, you could talk the Slavic language to them?
Sure, I spoke Polish and I spoke Russian.
And Italian, Russian you spoke too?
Polish.
Oh, that's a difficult language.
And did I tell you about my brother?
No.
Arthur Saul got his PhD at the University of Pittsburgh in French literature. And he got a job, after he quit in Melbourne, he got a job in Washington in the Library of Congress. And Henry Wallace was vice president, was a pupil of his. And in 1945, at the Potsdam Conference, when all they came together, my brother was appointed the official interpreter for the American delegation.
That is really an important job. You said he came here, he was a linguist. Where did he get his education in Russia, in Europe?
Because you see, my sister was also a linguist because she graduated at the Heidelberg University.
This is Zina? This is Zina,
Zina.
Yeah.
And she was there between 1910 and 1912. And afterwards, in 1912, she came back and she went to the St. Petersburg University. And of course, she knew French, German, Russian, Polish, Yiddish, and she knew a lot of it. And this was the tradition in our house. So my brother went for it and he never stopped studying. And he lived in Washington, he never was married, and he had a library in his apartment. And the library was worth, he spent over $100,000 buying books for the, from 37 years. He had the most outstanding library, and the, in Washington it was considered society, and was invited by an ambassador, the Washington Post is to mention Arthur Saul is invited.
You mentioned that he didn't marry. How about your other brothers and sisters? Do you have any nieces or nephews?
Yes. I have one niece in Cleveland, and her mother is still alive, Sylvia Saul.
Is married.
And she's a painter. And she painted Rabbi Silver's picture, and it's in Israel. Mm-hmm. And she has a daughter, this is Nina Wayne, and they have a lot of radio stations, and they are very known in Cleveland.
Which brother was she married to?
She was married to Al Saul.
Al Saul,
who came in 1910, and we came to bring us here.
Mm-hmm.
And
nieces and nephews we were talking about.
See, and I have also my oldest brother has two daughters, Louisa Saul, maybe you know Herbie Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in the video tape, and Louisa Saul, and she has two sons, and he's with the cable company, the Warner Cable Company.
Mm.
See, and my other brother is in Cleveland, and he was on radio, and he became very well known on the radio in Cleveland. And when I used to visit Cleveland and work with him on the street, kids used to stop him, and everybody wants to take this picture. So.
That's what your family. I know that you loved Yiddish literature, and I know you loved other literature too. Was there any special literature that you loved?
I mean, of course, I grew up when I was a kid with the Russian literature.
So
and
it
still remained a part of our life.
Did we mention where your wife was born? Was she born in America?
Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. She was
she
born,
was
in,
born
Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
She went to the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, she was born on Penn Avenue, on the, where it was the Jewish 12th Street, and her father had a second furniture store, and they remained there, but afterwards they moved to Graham Street, And of course, she went to Peabody High School and to the University of Pittsburgh. And she also graduated Carnegie Tech Library School.
We talked about, you've lived through your lifetime through a lot of anti-Semitism, but you worked in Fifth Avenue, which were mostly Jewish people, right? Did you have any contact with anti-Semitism, you yourself? Or
no,
you didn't. Just what, of course, you lived through the war.
And we heard about it.
Uh-huh. And what did the labor Zionists, did they do during World War II? They were still trying to support Israel.
Well, sure, they supported Israel. And they used to bring, Golda Meir used to come to Pittsburgh and stay with Mr. Kaufman.
She did, yes.
And when he came to Pittsburgh, it was very interesting. He came here the first time in 1929. And Mr. Morgan met him at the station, and when he looked at him, he got scared. He wore clothes made out of a sack. He says, "How will you be able to speak tomorrow?" So we opened the store 11 o'clock at night.
This was, you said, Golda Meir?
No, that's Ben-Gurion.
Ben-Gurion used to come. Oh, I see. Yes.
He also Golda Meir too.
But Ben-Gurion came in a sack.
In 1929, he came the first time, and he wore a suit made out of sackcloth. And Morgan opened the store, and he fitted him up in a new suit, and the tailor lived on Congress Street, and he fixed it up. So in the morning, 10 o'clock, it could be presented.
You lived at a very exciting time in the growth of Israel. You got to meet. What was Golda Meir like and what Ben-Gurion like?
Oh, I mean, that's all they were talking about.
It's Israel, they were devoted.
The kibbutzim and the labor and see if all the people were starving.
And so you...
People couldn't afford to wear a suit. Everybody wore knickers.
So what were some of the fundraising things that you did?
The fundraising was for the Istadrut. Uh-huh. At that time, if you gave $5, you were considered a millionaire. Most of the people gave $1.
Gave a dollar. And you...
And you got a free meal with it.
And you were the secretary during that time, so you must have worked...
No, I was not.
Uh-huh.
I was working.
Oh, you were working.
I was the secretary of the Yiddish Kultur.
I see.
Jewish culture. There was a Jewish cultural club, and I was the secretary. And I'm still in contact with the organization. They publish a magazine in New York, Yiddish Kultur. And when I do free income tax, and people want to give me a tip, I cannot take a tip. So I says, you can give a contribution to the Yiddish Kultur.
You still do income taxes, don't you?
I do free income taxes.
This you taught yourself.
What?
You taught yourself how to do it?
I went to the University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, you did?
To take up accounting.
I
never practiced because Morgan died and I became the buyer and everything.
Yes.
But when I retired in 1970, I went to work for Blocks and I learned how to do income tax. And I'm still a volunteer.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. That goes into, before we end, I want to make sure that I get your ideas on what your successes and accomplishments were in your life. And your failures. What you think you were proudest of doing and what you wish you would have done. Is there anything that you can look back at that you can say, this is, well, there must have been a lot that you're very proud of.
I met so many outstanding people.
Right.
You know Sholem Aleichem is.
Sholem Aleichem, you met him?
What? No, yes. He died.
He died, yes.
In 1915.
Oh.
But his son-in-law, Goldberg, used to come to Pittsburgh. And he used to stay in our house. And in 1945, the exhibit, the international exhibit, and what's his name? Gropper won one of the prizes. So I wrote a letter to Mr. Gropper and invited him to come to our center to speak and the hotels were on strike. So we moved out from our apartment and Mr. Gropper and his wife stayed in our apartment and we stayed with our wife's sister. And we met a man like William Gropper. He won an international prize.
What did he win a prize for? We never heard of him.
What he won the prize for a painting.
For printing.
Painting.
Painting.
Well, he was one of the outstanding painters in the United States.
And G-O-P-P-E-R?
What?
Well, how do you spell his name?
Grupper. G-R-O-P-E-R.
Sorry, I never
William Grupper.
William Grupper, and stayed at your house. Okay, that was so you wrote, I know, I'm talking to you, I know that you've met a lot of people.
Immediately, see,
all your life.
And every time that a speaker used to come, I used to introduce him, so we used to invite him for dinner at our house, and had a very personal encounter.
And you said that some of the people you worked with is Sam Verman, I know yeah. him. I know, and he was active in labor Zionist.
Sure. Eddie Stanfield, Sam Verman, Ralph Morris.
So that was your successes. Is there anything you wanted to do that you didn't get to do in your life? I'm sure a lot of things that you want to talk about.
About what?
Anything that you wanted to do that you didn't get to do, or that you wish you would have done, looking back.
Well,
would you have done anything differently?
Everything, you see, we were very lucky. We both worked, and I was the highest paid man on the avenue.
I didn't know that.
See, and therefore, two salaries. So therefore, anything we wanted, we used to go to New York and stay 2 weeks just to go to the theater.
Oh, is that wonderful?
See, in February it wasn't so busy, so I used to take off in February and go to New York and stay 2 weeks. And every day we used to go to the theater.
Oh, wonderful! You must have seen some of the best plays.
I mean,
plays.
Everything, all the O'Neill plays and all the Yiddish plays.
Do you get to travel at all now?
What?
Do you get to travel now at all?
Yeah, the last time we were only 2 years ago, we were in Israel.
Oh, that's wonderful. How is Israel now? What is your feeling about it?
It's the problems in Israel. Israel is not anymore the same.
Mm-hmm.
See, Israel to us originally was the kibbutzim, the people that gave their life to the country. Today, 500,000 people take money out and go for a vacation outside of Israel. See, when the country is broke, 500,000 take out money and they go out of Israel and spend dollars.
Mm-hmm.
See? So you see, it's not the same.
Right, right. It wouldn't be the same. The devotion isn't the same then.
What?
Their devotion to Israel is not the same.
It's not the same.
Right.
Because, you see, people at that time, everybody gave their life.
And did you visit, the last time you were there, did you visit Technion again?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And it was marvelous. It gave us a marvelous reception.
That's a marvelous school.
Oh, and every time there it's...
You mentioned last time that there's a world organization for your town, of the survivors of your town. And that's in October?
It's October the 20th.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be an international banquet. And, of course, we are going, and there's going to be a book. And I send them already. Everybody buys a page and puts the family on it. And I send them $100.
Oh, that's wonderful. You plan to go with your wife?
Of course.
Yes. I hope you in October, in 1985. That'll be marvelous.
Yeah.
Oh, so where is that? In
New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And have you kept in contact with any of the people?
I'm in contact with the secretary because
every
month there is a meeting, but I'm going to the meeting. But he writes me a letter, and I still have a first cousin. Only two Jews are survived in Suvo, and one of them is my first cousin.
And still living there?
She's past 80, and of course the organization helps her.
Oh, what kind of life did she have? Did she stay there during the war, or was she away?
She did leave the war. She never worked in her life because her parents were very well-to-do, and they had a big house, and so when they came back after Second World War, it belonged to them, so they had to give her the rent, and that's the way she lived.
I see, that's how she lived. Where did she go during World War II? Where was she?
World War II, she was in Siberia.
Oh, she went to Siberia. The Russians helped her.
She ran away. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. A part of the family wouldn't run away because they said, you remember the First World War? The Germans were nice to us. Mm-hmm. Why should we run away? So she didn't run away. But she did. So therefore she survived.
I see. You told us that you were there and the Germans were nice then.
Oh, sure.
Right. They were different people then.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Right. See, and one of the sisters in 1911 got TB and she went to Switzerland, to Davos Platz. And she stayed there till 1955, from 1911. And we went special. In 1950, we went to Switzerland. So we went to Davos Platz to look her up. See? And it's a small town, but a lot of hotels. So when we were on the train going from Zurich to Davos Platz, the conductor says, where are you going? He says, we're going to Davos Platz. He says, why are you going? He says, so look up somebody. Whom are you looking up? So I told the name of her husband. Who, he says, is the manager of the biggest hotel. See? Uh-huh. And we came, and the next day they visited us. We stayed a week in Davos Platz, and when we left, this is a custom in Switzerland. They don't take you to the station. They get on the train, and they take you to the next station. Mm-hmm. And they took us to the next station.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I never heard of that. It sounds to me as though all your family did well. They all loved education.
Oh, I mean, that's...
They all did very well. Your brother that was in Washington, what about... We did talk about your other brothers that were salesmen.
Oh, they were salesmen.
Did they stay?
See, they came to Pittsburgh, and the Kriegers, I don't think you know the Kriegers. See, there were three brother Kriegers, and one at a shoe store, one at a men's clothing, and one at a ladies. And they were first cousins to my mother. And they were so nice to my brothers that one had six daughters, but when my brother came in 1910, he stayed with them on Black Street. Mm-hmm. He gave them a room so he can stay, and he went to Peabody High School.
That's wonderful.
And afterwards, he went to work, and he worked with them.
So did they all stay as salesmen then?
Yeah, they were all salesmen.
And their whole lives they were salesmen. Did they work in stores?
My brother died. He was on the old, not men's clothing, but shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And till he died 2 years, 1981, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But he was a salesman until about 1970.
So they all did well. And did you get, I can just imagine the talks. Did you get together on holidays?
Oh, always.
Always on holidays and talk about business?
Sure.
And, yes.
Not business, but talk about
life.
Family. And,
yes.
And even now, Mrs. Rosenthal still has a Seder and invite. There's not many people to invite.
Mm-hmm. Who's Mrs. Rosenthal?
She's my niece.
Oh, your niece has a Seder.
She's been living in, what do you call it, in
the suburbs?
In the suburb.
Monroeville? Yeah.
You go on the turnpike, you turn off on 12.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Yeah.
It's a famous...
and she has to stay
there. She still... They live there and we go there.
And say, oh, well, in my family, they got together and talked about business. But you talked about literature and art and theater.
Oh, sure.
Yes. And your brother, were they all interested in the same? You were interested in Yiddish theater,
well,
Yiddish
they were not,
culture.
They were not so active.
Uh-huh.
See, except three of my sisters and three brothers were active in culture.
Right.
But the other three brothers, well, you know, they had to make a living and, mm-hmm. and they lived.
Yes. Your sister Zina sounds like she had a wonderful, exciting life too.
Yeah, she got a gold medal when she finished high school, and for a Jewish person to get a gold medal is
must have been brilliant. She was brilliant. A gold medal in Russia for finishing high school.
High school.
Yes, and then when she came here, how she worked all her life here.
She worked all her life on the same job.
and immigrants came. You said she died in the 60s.
1967. Uh-huh.
And were immigrants coming all that time?
She worked that day.
She worked that day.
When she came home, and she was sitting and eating, and she died at the time.
That's a nice way to die, isn't it? Having worked. And were there, she always take care of immigrants, or did she do other things
always,
too?
That's all.
Just
she
immigrants.
She was always the head of the refugee service.
And in the 60s, who came? Hungary, I guess.
Who
came from? What kind of immigrants came in the 60s?
The first immigrants came in the early 30s was Polish. In 1937, it was the Germans. And since she spoke so well German, she organized the German club. It was a club, a German club in Pittsburgh. And she organized, and they used to meet and once a month. In 1945, she got the refugees from the concentration camp. And in 1960, it was from Poland. And afterwards...
The rest, well, that is really interesting. She must have had such stories to tell you. When when the Germans came, in the German club, did they the ones that were active now in Concordia, the same people?
Yeah, sure.
Well, she was Polish, and I understand that they were... Did they look down on the Polish? Not her.
No, I mean, they didn't think much of the Polish.
Right.
So they kept separate, and there were 30 doctors in Pittsburgh, Germans, who could not practice because you had to have 1 year, you had to take a course, but they didn't have the money. So my sister got them a loan from the free loan, and they went for the year, and afterwards they became doctors, they became rich.
And she was the one that got them started. I hope
she,
they never...
doctors and dentists.
Uh-huh. And she started the German club. Did she also... Was she there? Did she go to the meeting?
Oh, yes, she used to go.
She probably ran the meeting.
She used to invite us too. She used to go.
And what went on there? What did they do at the German club?
You see, they used to have lectures. And
oh, I see. I
and
see.
And social. And
uh-huh. And, but did they do it in Yiddish too?
No.
In
German.
In German. And you understood German then, too? That's wonderful.
I was
what
5% of a German.
Oh, I see.
I went to a German school.
I didn't know that.
1914 to 1990, we were under the German during the First World War.
And when you said you went to a German school, was it in your town? Or you had
sure. My sister was the head of the school.
Then you went to the German school. And was that high school?
Yeah.
No, you weren't allowed to go to high school yet. Well, you had a wonderful life. It was really good hearing it. Thank you very much. It was really wonderful. That's over.